Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Jersey Boys Podcast here on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network, powered by SB Nation. Dave Sturcio alongside America's fan Keith Ernst, and of course, nationwide known comedian star of Cobra Kai. And what, you have a new movie out, right? I almost ordered it. It was like $4, but I didn't do it yet. It's what's it called, Brett?
Don't worry about what it's called.
All righty. So, he has a new movie out somewhere along the line.
And I forgot what it's called. What's it called, bro?
Witness Infection.
Oh, yeah, Witness Infection. That's what
there
it's
you go. Are you in
it's
it a
comedy,
lot?
It's a comedy zombie movie.
Are you like in it a lot, movie. Or is it like worth getting? Or I mean, obviously, you're going to promo it.
If you're into that,
yeah,
genre.
It won all the film awards at the horror festivals.
Oh, cool. All right.
It's a fun movie. It's not meant to be, you know, it's meant to be what it is.
Got you. Well, we have another week of the Cowboys offseason. And later on in this episode, we're going to be bringing on Brianna Dix of D210 Sports 210. I actually got corrected by her because Lord knows I didn't know what it was. D210, D2110. I don't even know. But anyway, she's a writer for OU as well as covering the Dallas Cowboys. We'll have her on in a little bit. But fellas, first and foremost, happy Easter. I mean, I know you guys are doing your Easter grind right now, and that's why we're recording a little later than usual, but I hope you guys enjoyed your Easter.
No, it was good. Yeah, we're actually in the same town together, so it's good. My mom's here, the kids, yeah. God bless.
Now, it doesn't even look like, I don't remember the rooms, but I guess, are you in a hotel or are you at your house?
Yeah, we're in a hotel. You got a lot of questions today, Sturge.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm just trying to.
Concerned about the personal stuff of the Orange Brothers.
Cowboy talk.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I
see you got your Easter shirt on, so you're all little Sturge.
Feel a little froggy, but whatever. It is what it is. But guys, all right, so another week of off-season programming for the Dallas Cowboys. Not a lot of movement as far as players. It's been kind of the same status quo, kind of quiet. There were, you know, again, now the rumblings of the NFL draft are really starting to come to a head. And, you know, something I'm definitely going to address with Brianna of what she's hearing in Dallas as far as where the Cowboys are leaning. I know we've gone over this already and, you know, we kind of touched on it a little bit, but after another week of, you know, not so much film study or anything like that, but like if you guys have dove in a little bit more, are any of you two leaning on the Kyle Pitts train? If that is a thing, like if he's there at 10, would you ever consider it still?
Dude, let me tell you something, Sturge. And I came after you on Chop about this.
Okay.
Please, people, stop with this Randy Moss comparison. I'm tired of it. Everybody's saying, oh, we're going to pass on Pitts like we passed on Moss and we got Ellis instead. First of all, Ellis was a stud. All right. And I'll say, I know you were like, oh, but it's Randy Moss. You know what? Moss never won a Super Bowl, people. And guess what? He had probably the greatest quarterback of all time at one time at Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. He also had Randall Cunningham, who's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He had Dante Culpepper, who was a fantastic quarterback in his younger years. And then when he went to the Raiders and didn't have anyone, well, that's different. But regardless, what I'm trying to say is that, look, we didn't need Randy Moss then. We don't need Kyle Pitts now. We have two above average tight ends. We go defense, we go what we need. And at number 10, I will tell you right now, at number 10, we will be able to find a solid defensive player at 10.
And I would also say that I think Sertan's going to be there, and I would take Sertan the third if we have a pick. But we got to go defense, man. It doesn't matter. We have enough talent on the offensive side of the ball. It's not the problem.
Yeah, we don't need any. I mean, what? How, oh, so we're going to score 42 points instead of 35?
Right. And then have to come back from another 48 point deficit.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
I just think,
you know, we're done here.
Happy Easter, everybody.
God bless.
As they kick over the mic stand and say, you know what? F this. I'm out. All right. The only reason why I bring that up is because, again, it's one of those things where it's like they're calling this guy a generational player. And again, you have to take that into consideration. I'm not saying I'm on board with it. Again, I am all for Sertan. I believe the defense needs to be addressed first and foremost. I just think that, like, when things happen, like last year, you know, CeeDee Lamb fell on our laps, and that's one thing.
Okay.
And that was pick 17. So this is pick 10.
Little Sturch. Okay. what does that mean, a once-in-a-lifetime player?
Yeah, a generational.
What does that mean? And how does that interpret to Super Bowl victories? Because I'll tell you right now, when Brady came out, he wasn't a once-in-a-generation. And by the way, he's a once in any sport. That when people come out of college, you don't know what they can do. And 99.9% of the time, everybody's wrong on how great this player is going to be. Okay. But what we do know is we have problems on defense. Okay. And we can, and that's what we need to focus on. Football is a team sport. It's not basketball where one guy goes from offense to defense, from offense to defense. It can change the game. All right. We need defensive linemen. We need a pass rush. We need linebackers. We need cornerbacks. I mean, that's what we need.
So here's what would you call, let's all of us try to think of this. What in recent memory have they said is a once in a generation type player?
Yeah, right off the top of my head, I would say Andrew Luck.
Okay, yes, that's a good one. That's a very good one. Retired early, no Super Bowl, and played in a horrible division, by the way. I would say another one is
he was also murdered on site every Sunday, like they had no offensive line.
Well, okay,
but guess what though? He's a once in a generation player.
It doesn't matter.
What's it matter what the rest of the team does?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So I will give you one. I got one for you, Ricky Williams.
That's he liked the Gange.
No, what's his name? The quarterback from Texas,
Vince Young.
No, Vince Young was one that everybody was, you know.
But no, the thing with I remember, you know, you remember what happened with Ricky Williams, right?
Yeah, he liked the ganja. He liked, you know.
No, not that. Do you know what the Saints did to get him?
They traded didn't Ditka just go nuts and just do everything in their power to trade up for that, right? That's what happened, right?
They traded every single pick in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
To move up.
I forgot about that.
That is insane. But there you go right there. That's the mentality. Oh, all we need is this guy. And once again, he went from the same.
But we're not also moving heaven and earth to get there. I'm just saying there's a chance
that
this guy falls.
No, I know. But the reason they did that was because of that whole mentality that this is a once in a generation type player. That's
okay.
What I'm trying to say.
Okay.
I say that. No, I don't. I mean, what do people do? Do people just want players that are going to get stacks? Do people just want players that are going to have that they can wear their jersey and say, oh, we're living
in that kind of, you know that, Keith. I mean, as we get older, the younger generation likes that fantasy stats. You know what I mean? And look, there's only one ball to go around. You know what I mean? Dak Prescott coming back. You know, he has his full arsenal of receivers. He's got two capable tight ends. He's got supposed to be one of the better premier running backs in football in Ezekiel Elliott. So look, and the offensive line is back. And so I think that, yes, it's not a need, okay? It's not a need, but I'm just saying this right now. I hope to God he gets drafted before 10. That's all I'm saying. I hope that somebody picks up this guy so it's not even a considerable thought. Like, even if he was on the big board for the Dallas Cowboys, I want his name crossed out and somewhere else. Because here's another dreadful thought. If Pitts is there, let's just say Pitts is there, and let's say Sertan is gone, and let's say another guy that we wanted is gone, and we're looking at Pitts in the face, and we're like, you know, maybe we jump up and grab another corner, like J.C. Horn. You know what I mean? Like, maybe we take him at 10, and we pass on Pitts. Mm-hmm. Are we going to be able to live with ourselves if this guy turns out to be one of the greatest tight ends ever, and he's playing on the Giants, and he's playing on the Giants or the Eagles?
Who cares? Who cares?
You got to deal with him.
Okay. So you're telling me if Mark Bavaro didn't play for the Giants, they wouldn't have won that Super Bowl? You're telling me if Jay Novacek didn't play for the Cowboys or any What about Kellen Winslow State? What the hell? When did a tight end become the game changer?
They're saying this he's a tight end.
It's ridiculous. They're saying listen, it's an important position, okay? But it's not. We need defense. If we don't get defense again, look, Tony Romo, that whole run was because we didn't have defense. Our defense is our Achilles heel.
Yeah.
We need players. We need to stack up on.
This is what I say we do if Pitts is around a 10. Okay. Somebody that really needs a tight end that's higher than us.
Come and get him.
Yeah. If they're saying that, oh, we can get a linebacker or something like that at a higher first round pick, then fine, then trade it and let's get some picks out of it. Work it that way.
Oh, and here's the other thing we got to worry about too. If he's this once in a lifetime generational player, what do you think we're going to have to pay him?
I mean, you'd have to pay any first round pick, no matter
after
who he is.
After three, four years, we'd have like 3 seasons of him probably, right?
Not even. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if it's a first round pick, you get 4 years and you get a 50-year option. But in any event, listen, again, not trying to convince you, not trying to change your mind.
I know you're not. No,
I am all for a defensive player at 10.
They're just saying if he's around,
it's gonna make things a little difficult.
I don't think that this is even a no-brainer. I mean, who cares?
Okay. All right. Hey, but listen.
If we didn't have a tight end, I would say, oh, yeah, of course. And our defense.
I mean, this is how Cowboys Nation is taking this right now. They're saying Schultz is on a contract. Jarwin's coming off ACL. That's the pitch. That's they're saying, like, we don't have, like, these guys aren't locked in. Like, are we going to give Schultz, like, long-term money?
Dak is coming off an injury, too. Should we go after?
No. I'm just saying you're saying that they're more than capable of tight ends. And I agree. I just think
it's a tight end. What are we doing?
All right. Listen.
We have the number 30 defense in the NFL, right? Or number 31 in pass.
In rush.
I mean, what the hell are we – how is this even a discussion?
All right. Discussion over.
You know what, guys? We have the second to worst defense in pass and the worst defense in run. Hey, you know what, though? There's a punter that could be a once-in-a-lifetime punter. We should get him.
That's a different story.
Well, is it a different story? When you're talking of offensive threats, when did the tight end become, you know, your first? Yeah, when? Because of what? Kelsey,
Gronk, guys like that have revolutionized the position.
Here's what you have to understand, okay? In an offensive scheme, unless there's very few plays that are just designed for the tight end. So when a quarterback's doing his progressions and he might be the third receiver, you know, if the other two aren't open. Mm-hmm. So what you're looking at is why Jay Novacek was great but they're not drafted to be game changers. They become game changers because the other two receivers are covered.
Okay. All right. I beg this question to both of you. All right. Because you bring that up and that's a good point. A great point. Does Tony Romo have the career that he has without his tight end?
Well, it's also different because now you add he's also had Terrell Owens, you know, who he's also had, you know, receivers that he made like Miles Austin. Well, you got to remember, you're not when the defense lines up, Deion Sanders has never covered a tight end. They didn't line him up over the tight end. The tight end is an underneath guy, out guy.
I'm aware.
Every once in a while that's what I played in high school and I was recruited as a tight end. I'm not saying it can't be a position that can change a game, but it's not a game-changing position, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, okay, I get it. No, like I said, I only beg the question because it's a possibility. That's the only reason why I bring it up.
If we had a solid defense, then yeah, why not? We don't have any defense.
So brought up to me by our producer, RJ Ochoa of Blogging the Boys, he would like to know the following. Because this is actually a pretty good question, considering we're kind of right in the middle of free agency right now. Is there a move that the Dallas Cowboys have made in this free agent market that basically two different moves, the move that you were shocked about the most and the move that you were just like, you kind of knew that was going to happen anyway. If you want me to start off to kind of give you a couple examples just to make it easier.
No, I got mine already.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead, bro. What do we got?
Keith,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, I know you guys are thinking Joe Thomas, but I'm actually not surprised by that because he's been a
he's been a floater his whole career.
Right.
Yeah, I bet that's what I kind of felt like something like that was going to happen because Joe Thomas had a decent year and we already have contracts with LVE and Jalen. But so that wasn't, now was I disappointed? Yeah, I was disappointed by that. I don't think he's freaking Ray Lewis, but I do think that, you know, he could hit. And I felt like he would have been, you know, not the best linebacker we had, but he would have been a compliment if we could have got some really, really good linebackers. And I would say the one that I'm also not surprised with, or the one I'm kind of happy with, is Chris Jones, that we're not bringing him back and all. Cause I mean, he has decreased. I mean, I don't know how many times he punted it inside the 20.
But I don't think he's been relevant since he laid the wood against Detroit that one day. You know what I mean? Remember that time he made the hit and they called him the Puntisher. And I'm just like, oh my God, Chris Jones is the man. And then it's just like, after that, I almost never heard of him again.
But I think like one year he had like freaking over 60 punts inside the 20. That, like, it was amazing.
So he had his time in the, that
was
in the, like, sun.
I think that was 2014 or 13. I mean, so they've been hanging on to him, but so I'm not surprised we moved on from the punter because I don't think he was doing that great. And I know we make fun of punters, but let me tell you, field position's huge.
Yeah, I believe
it's huge. If you told me there was someone, and I'm not even kidding you, if there was a punter that can guarantee you he can kick it inside the 5-yard line every time, I would take that punter in the first round.
I don't think they exist, but yeah,
But you get my point.
Yeah, totally. Point. Totally. So, I mean,
a punter can be very, very important. So,
I like
the Chris Jones being released.
Okay. A move that you were kind of floored, you like didn't expect it. Didn't see it coming.
I didn't see coming.
Did not.
Probably trying to think.
I have one answer for both.
What?
Dak, signing Dak for that much money. And then not, and if we didn't, you know, and well, not right. signing.
So Dak was your surprise, or you knew it was going to get done? Well, you were kind of.
I didn't know it was going to get done, so I was surprised. But you know, I'm
that's
also
a good one. I didn't think about Dak.
You know, and also,
it's our biggest,
you know,
it's our biggest acquisition of the year. So yeah, it's probably.
I'm saying that's an awfully big contract for not a top five quarterback, and also depending on the needs that we have, and also the quarterbacks that are coming up in this draft. You know. But I'm also glad we did it. I have mixed feelings about the whole thing.
But you were, you know, but I mean? that was the one that kind of shocked you because you didn't think it would get done this year.
Right. I didn't think, I thought they were going to tell him to test the market.
Or at least play on the tag again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, I mean, you know, cause you never know, dude. And again, I mean, the way it was structured, you got to give it to Jimmy Johnson in the front office for getting the deal done. You know what I mean?
Stephen Jones.
I'm sorry, Stephen Jones. What did I say? Jimmy Johnson?
Jimmy Johnson. That's
it. I meant Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones. I mean, the way they structured it was pretty smart.
Right.
Where it still hurt us a little bit, but not that much, but it could. But now there's the two. I tried to read the thing. I don't even know what the hell they did and how it affected us. But the signing bonus alone, I meant the guy's guaranteed Tony Romo's whole career. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
And again, we haven't made the playoffs 2 years in a row. Granted, he got hurt, but it wasn't like, you know. But we've beaten this dead horse, but I'm also got mixed feelings about it as well. Like I'm happy he's there. I'm happy we made it work. I meant, again, if there was no salary cap, give him $1 billion. I don't care. So right. Let him eat as much as he wants. But that was
you
my
got something, Keith?
You know, I was going to say that if you're saying a shock signing that we had, shock, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie to anyone right now. I did not know one of the players before we signed them. Keanu O'Neill, I didn't know any of these guys. I know my Cowboys, and you guys know I do, but like, especially, I've never heard of any of them. So for me to sit up here and say, oh, that Neil guy, oh, I'm not going to do that. Even though I did watch his highlights and I was like, damn, this man can hit.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But there, I don't have a shock because I don't know any of these guys. I don't.
Okay.
So that's probably my shock is that
I don't know anybody.
I don't know how they're going to play. I don't know how they're going to do. And that might be a good thing though, guys. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? When you get the name that everyone knows, sometimes that player's checked out of the NFL already, like Poe.
Yeah.
You know, so it might be a good thing that we're getting these players that, hey, you know, like we can bring up Jay Novacek. He was on the Cardinals when he came to us. Nobody was like, oh, who's this guy? He proved himself, you know? So maybe these people are going to prove themselves or these players on our team.
I'm all for it. When I take a look at this free agency right now and this move, Brett made up a, you know, he said a good point before. I didn't even consider the Dak Prescott thing as more of a shock, because I know you said it, Keith, that it would get done. I was on the fence. I didn't know what they were doing. Did I want it to happen? Yes. I did not know it was going to happen. So yeah, I guess I can consider that one mine as well. And I'm kind of, the move that I knew was going to happen was that they were not going to bring back Xavier Woods. I knew they were going to let him walk. And look, he had himself a bad year on a contract year. That's the kind of thing. This is why, you know, I still will never for the life of me understand how you can go into a press conference and say that he doesn't give 100% every play. And then he gets picked up. He gets picked up by the former defensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys, Mike Zimmer, which is like insane to me. Cause I'm just like, oh, okay. I guess that makes sense. Maybe, I don't know. But him walking out the door doesn't surprise me. What did surprise me was Cheeto. I thought for sure that we would kind of work out something with Cheeto to stick around in Dallas, but he moves on to Cincinnati.
That disappointed me a lot, but you know what? We had to keep one.
Right. And I think the Jordan Lewis signing is a good one.
I think that was a good one. I meant, you know, again, we're going to try. I think we need to fill that need in the draft. And I think Surtain will be around. I mean, if Surtain's there.
I hope so. Because, I mean, if you have – Surtain is NFL ready right now. He's very good at closing speed.
He should be there at 10. He should
I would assume so. I mean, the only team I could say that might draft a corner right before us is the Denver Broncos. But I think that they've addressed it in free agency enough to where they can now address a different need. You know what I mean?
There's another corner too that is ahead.
Casey Horn is now climbing the ladders right now, because Caleb Farley has fallen a little bit because of micro back surgery.
Yeah, he had a surgery, but from what I heard though, it's not
right. So
it's like
that'll
it's
be. Like, I'm not listen. I love Surtain and I like J.C. Horn. I am not doing this whole Jalen Smith coming off injury garbage again. I don't care. I don't care if it's the smallest microfracture thing in the world.
No, but I'm saying other teams that have that need would probably take Farley over Surtain.
Right. But again, he's going to fall because of his injury. And regardless of where, I mean, look, if that's the guy that somebody wants, then they're going to go grab him. That's just.
Do you know something? I thought the surgery wasn't like.
It's not like catastrophic. It's nothing like that's going to sideline him forever. I'm just saying, like, it's one of those things where just I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal, like, God forbid, you know, like we go in the training camp the first day and like, oh, you know, Farley came up limp because he's grabbing his back and now it's spasming out, you know, and then you have to deal with all this. Will he play? Won't he play? You know, you get the
healthy ready for the season.
He will be. I'm just saying in general, what if something happens again and he like aggravates it and yada, yada, yada. You just don't want to blow the 10th pick in the draft on somebody that has a question mark. Not all question marks, just a question mark.
Well, here's a question for you or my brother. Do you think that the Jalen Smith gamble was a crap out?
Right now, if you would ask me right now, I'd say yes.
Just because of how he played this year.
He got drafted in 2016. He didn't play in 2016. He played in 2017, and that defense was atrocious. And then he played in 2018. That defense came on at the end. Great. So then all of a sudden, he's swiping and he's starting to do his own branding. And then 2019, you get Van Der Esch in there and now they're howling and they're doing all sorts of crap. And then they're branding themselves and they just didn't live up to the hype. Then he gets the money and then he gets signed. And I'm just like,
this season, which sucks, is going to say a lot. Cause he's rolling in. I mean, Jerry ain't going to get rid of this guy,
but we also have a new defense now again.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, scheme could be everything. Who knows? But again, it's been an off season so far. It's, you know, been quiet for the last week. The draft is inching closer. You know, like I said, we got a great interview coming up in just a couple minutes. But overall, the feeling around the room here, at least at the Jersey Boys podcast, is that we're all for a cornerback, and we're all for just addressing the defense.
Well, I'll tell you though, if you can get a game changing defensive lineman, it doesn't matter what the scheme is. You know, it's funny. I remember hearing, it might've been Belichick, but there was a story about LT when he first got to the league and he was supposed to jump into coverage on a play, but he just sacked the quarterback. So I think Belichick pulled him out and said, yo, you're supposed to get into coverage, get in there again. And LT didn't know the next play, the next time he didn't
he just sacked the quarterback again. And then Bill Parcells just said, let him play football, let it go. And, you know, and when you're getting guys on the front line that could just get to the quarterback and play relentless, like, I mean, you know, people forget too. And I even though he's one of my favorite players of all time, before Reggie White and before LT, there was Randy White. And Randy White was relentless. Just the motor never stopped, going after the quarterback. I mean, look, people have no idea how impactful he was in of his generation before LT came to the league. It was Randy White. So, you know, if you can get that interior defensive lineman that just doesn't stop and, you know, is on the board, I go for that right away. You know, like if you get those once in a there, that's where a once in a lifetime player can change your
defense. I think they can address that by trading. That's just me. I think they like.
I think you got to grow those guys.
You mean trading like for a different draft pick?
Trading back, yeah.
Oh, for a different.
Draft.
Yeah. Like there's a monster. There, Barrymore out of Alabama. He's one of those guys who just looks like he can kill people and eat
you
people
bring,
alive.
You bring a guy like that into.
But he's not supposed to go until about the 15, 16. So if somebody wants to jump up and grab their guy at 10, I would love nothing more to just trade back and grab
Give
that
the
guy.
Tight end. Take the tight end. Go ahead. Enjoy him.
Enjoy.
No, I'm saying you get a defensive lineman in there. See, and again, these are the type of players that can make an impact right away. It's always in the trenches. You know what I mean? Always. Because
good things out of Tristan Hill coming back. He was coming on strong and he gets hurt the same day as Dak, if you remember that. You know, he got what Neville Gallimore is another season deep. So that interior D line, I think, is gonna be a little bit better than what we started with last year. Last year, obviously, we had McCoy get hurt. We had Poe, who just looked like he didn't want to play football anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it was a different – it was an older look last year. Now you got some young, hungry dudes that might just want to eat. And just.
I will say right now, our linebackers, you can't wait for the running back to come to you. And that's what I saw a lot. I saw bad reads. I saw not stepping up. I meant our linebackers were – it's one of the worst I've ever seen as a Dallas Cowboy fan. It's probably the worst linebacking crew I've ever seen play.
It's not that broad of a statement.
And again, it could have been, you know, our interior, you know, that's also what made the flex defense. So Landry's flex defense so good is, you know, they played those defensive linemen back a little instead of up front. So it was harder to get to the linebacker. The linebackers were more free to run. You know, if your defensive linemen are getting blown out, then, you know, it's easier to get to the linebackers. I mean, again, there could have been 10 things wrong why they weren't in position. The fact is they weren't in position.
Right.
So you're getting a new defensive coordinator. We're getting some of our D linemen back. Hopefully some will pan out, but that's our concern.
Did you know the reason Ken Norton Jr. Wasn't signed back for the Cowboys?
No, I do not.
Okay. The main reason why is when he was a free agent in his prime is that they, Jerry Jones and, you know, the Jimmy Johnson, they all thought that they didn't need to, like, a linebacker wasn't that important to draft in the first round. They're easily replaced. Isn't that crazy?
That is.
And the reason they thought that is because we went on a string, man, going off the top of my head. Dixon Edwards, Robert Jones, Godfrey Miles, Randall Godfrey. I met all these Darren Smith.
These were linebackers.
Yeah, so they were just – and if you look it up, like they were – and I don't know the years. Once again, I'm going off the – they were all leaving in free agency, and they just kept saying, oh, we'll just get another one. Let them – you know what I mean? Let that linebacker go, and we're just going to pick another one in the first or second round. So
I guess technically the last one to actually was like the last of a dying breed as far as draft pick is concerned would be DeMarcus Ware, right? I mean, you consider him outside linebacker?
Yeah. We already know that Carpenter –
Bobby Carpenter. Yeah, no, you're right. But all right, well, there's a lot of more questions, a lot more questions than answers right now in the Cowboys season and the off season, and the draft's coming up. But that's been, we'll find out. But we're gonna take a little break. And what's up, Keith?
No, I was gonna say before the draft, the schedule usually comes out.
Yes,
it's gonna be a fun episode.
Yeah, and
They went to 17 games.
They went to 17 games. We're playing the New England Patriots in New England. We just don't know when. So
the dates
and everything. And I sort of
we know who we're playing already.
Yeah. The opponents have been announced. But yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see like the first home game, and we'll see. But
yeah,
we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Brianna Dix, and she'll give us her insight on her view of the 2021 Dallas Cowboys.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, welcome back from break. And at this time, the fellas have left me. They've left me high and dry. Dave Sturcio is here by himself as we bring on our VIP guest for this evening, Miss Brianna Dix. She is a writer for the Sooner Wire over at OU. And of course, she is with D. Now, I looked at this. And is it D210 or D210? Like, how do you go? It's like the area code. Like, what are we talking about here?
It's D210.
210. All right. So it's the easiest thing I could have thought about. And I'm just like, how many pauses should I take in between each other? D210 reporter covering the Dallas Cowboys. Brianna, how are we tonight?
I am good. Happy Easter.
Yes, happy Easter. Here we are just sacrificing time with our family and friends, and we're saying, why not jump on for the greater good of Cowboys Nation to get this done? We've been talking for a couple weeks about coming on, and you're a busy girl, so I totally understand. It takes a little while, but a little favor for the Jersey Boys podcast and, of course, Blogging the Boys and people that might not be familiar with you. Just tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into this business. Because, look, as a fellow journalist and somebody who's been in broadcasting for 15 years now, I know it's an absolute dogfight and it's a grind. So you got to tell me how you got in, when you got in, and how it's been kind of going for you.
Yeah, no, 100% very competitive market. And then you tack on being a young woman who's mm-hmm. new in the industry to the mix. And that, of course, makes things more challenging. But I always knew at a young age, I loved football, grew up watching the NFL with my dad. I learned pretty much everything almost that I knew about the game from him at a young age. I didn't have any brother. So it was kind of funny that I just kind of took on that role for him and was somebody that loved watching sports with him. But I was always captivated by it, whether it be, you know, the blocking, the snap of the ball, the adrenaline, I mean, the tackles, the battles between corners and wide receiver. I just loved every aspect of it. And really when I got into high school was when I started to understand that how unique my passion was and how different that was from other people my age, especially for women. And I decided to channel that and turn my passion into a career and to wholeheartedly pursue that. And so I went to Dallas Baptist and graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Broadcast Communications. But unfortunately, DBU didn't have a football team, but it was in the Dallas Metroplex, and there are so many amazing sports and avenues to get into. So I just started networking through, professors that I had, and interviewed several former Cowboys And then I interned for the Cowboys in 2016.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, 2016. You talk about a year to get in.
So I know, great year. Hey, 13-3. So that was so exciting. And I loved it because I was a game day event presentation intern. So it was more of the behind the scenes aspect. So it mm-hmm. gave me a greater appreciation for, you know, a game day, everything and how it all works together and how it's performed and what goes on behind the scenes to make everything happen and, right. and an NFL show happen. And so I really got to enjoy that and kind of brought me into that world. And then through that, that's how I got connected with my boss with D210, because I did some freelance work out at Frisco at the start doing some high school football stuff. So, and then just kind of hit the ground running, was doing, you know, the press conferences and open locker room and home games. And then of course COVID hit. So it's definitely been an adjustment, but at the same time for me, it's been really gratifying because it's really challenged me to think outside the box and okay, how can I create unique content? How can I, you know, what avenue or angle can I come at with this player or with whatever happened and get a unique spin on it? So it's definitely been an interesting journey, but you know, some exciting things. Started writing for Sooners Wire, so covering OU football, and that's been honestly a blast, learning more about the college game and setting up on their roster and just, I mean, their program and Lincoln Riley. I mean, it's just
Could have been a Cowboys coach.
Right.
I digress. But yeah. that's such a cool journey. I mean, all right. So obviously 2016, you're in the meat and potatoes of one of the better seasons that we've had in a long time. You got any like specific behind the scenes stories that you're just like, when you got in your car that night, you're like, that just happened. Like, you know, as a professional, you know, obviously, yes, we won games and yes, we had great memories as fans and like, you know, watching from the outside, but in your industry, in our industry of being in that journalistic and broadcasting field, was there anything that you kind of just like I said, like got in your car after a game one night and said, holy shit, that just went down.
Right. Really one of the main things that has stuck with me when I was an intern is, so one of my roles was, I was kind of a handler for Freddie Jones, who is the trumpet player for the Cowboys that does the national anthem.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, you seriously, I can recall it so vividly, but it was one of my first games. I think it was the first regular season game of that 2016 season. And I got to be, And I got to escort him down there, and I'm standing on the sideline and he's, you know, several yards up doing it, the trumpet. And I'm standing and I'm almost in the line, like with the players on the sideline. Oh, and it starts and you hear the trumpet and there is just silence. And it's like, in that moment, I looked up and seriously, like, I'm not even ashamed, but I mean, it was like my eyes just filled with tears. And I mean, it wasn't like, I mean, I was almost sobbing, but I mean, it was just that realistic moment where it's like, oh my gosh, Brianna, like, look where you are.
Yeah.
And you look up and you just see like the ring of honor, like you see the flag going around the banner and you just hear. And then at the end of it, you know, the crowd erupts in like USA. And it was like, that's one of those moments that mm-hmm. I will seriously like never forget. And that's launched, you know, my career and that's, just kind of exit on it, that love, you know, since that
doesn't,
day.
It doesn't get any easier and better than that, because obviously you're Cowboys, you grew up a Cowboys fan with your father, right? So I grew up a Cowboys fan with my father and we're in New Jersey. So just credit us that for that. So right away, we're in enemy territory. Everybody hates us.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
yeah.
So here's my little quick story. I get out of broadcasting school in 2007. They have internship programs. It's this big binder, right? And you just have to fill out, like, who do you want to intern for? There's a bunch of internship programs. And I'm like, I saw the New York Jets. And I'm like, I think I could do that. You know, I know I bleed Cowboy blue. It's the Jets. They're not good. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? So let me go intern for the Jets. And 3 weeks after I put in my application, I get a call from a guy and he's like, hey, this is blah, blah, blah from the New York Giants. And I'm just like, no. I apply for the Jets. You know, like, oh, well, we'd like to bring you in for an interview. And I'm like, oh, no, like, don't tell me I'm about to work for the Giants. So lo and behold, I work for the Giants. And I for 2000. It's funny. You're in a 2016 season where the Cowboys blow up. I'm in 2007 and the Giants won the damn Super Bowl and I was an employee. So it was the worst because, I mean, obviously it was the best because you get to meet all these people.
Right.
But most likely that moment that you had, I had that same moment. T.O. was on the team at the time with the Cowboys and we were down at half. And I said, I saw him in like the little tunnel and we're walking back to the field because I was a production intern. So I'm much like you kind of handling and being a runner for like the cameramen and stuff. So I'm on the field the entire time. And I look at T.O. and Patrick Creighton at the time. And they're like, you know, they're talking. And I just interrupt. I said, this is my moment. I'm about to just say hello to T.O. And I was like, I know I work for the Giants. I'm decked out in Giants stuff. And I said, guys, I was like, finish this off in the second half, please. And I, T.O. looked at me and he's like, what? You know, because like, I got the Giants gear on. I was like, I'm with you guys. Please finish this game off. And Romo went out there and just diced up the Giants. But I got that feeling. I know that feeling because you're out there for the anthem and you're experiencing it and you're taking it in. And I got to watch my Cowboys just destroy the Giants as a Giants employee. So, and I try not to brag about that because I'm just like, okay. Like I met a lot of cool people. Right. I met Troy Aikman that year, you know, when the Fox did a game at John Madden. The people you meet in this industry are just incredible. And you're a testament to that because I've seen a lot of your work and I'm just straight up jealous. I'm just like, this girl is talking to all these guys. And it's a great feeling to be in this industry. So now you shift gears, you know, you do your internship. And where does 210 come into play? Where they're just kind of like looking for freelancers for start and then hire kind of like as they go?
Yeah, they were just kind of looking for more freelance, some more people to come in. It's kind of an intern role. And then that progressed into, because for really a while in 2017, like after I did the internship and was kind of in that like senior year of college and I mean, oh my God, I was at the Star like constantly because I would do even not even necessarily on the high school games that they would have like on Thursdays and Fridays, but I would do a lot of stuff just in the control room, like working like Crossfire or Blaze for like random events that they would have at.
So you have a media credential. So you're kind of just.
Yeah. So going. Like, for okay. The Star in Frisco. And then one of my good friends that I met that actually works for the Mavericks now. She was an intern with me and she knew, some people that worked for D210 and she was like, hey, like, you know, you should reach out, to them, you know, reach out to this guy. And I did send him my reel. And then kind of things just went full force from there.
How fun is that process? The whole sending reels everywhere. Do I remember that?
I swear.
If I look back at my reel, I would just, I'm like, oh my God, I wouldn't hire me. I wouldn't hire me.
Oh yeah. And it's so tedious and it's like, you'll finally get it to like a place where you want it, you know, you've cut and it's all in linear. And then it's like, oh, then there's this clip. I mean, you're constantly like updating it. And so, I mean, I love it. And it's something that is basically a visual of your growth. You know, you look at it and I can see just watching stuff from college or even 2 years ago, I look at clips and then I look at something now. Because I have a really big tendency to talk really, really fast. And especially towards the beginning of my career, I would just talk really, really fast to try and just like spit off the information and just to get it over with. But now I really, over the past year, have noticed that I've, you know, slowed down. And it's just these little like, you know, marks that you hit in your career that are so exciting to watch and to look at.
Yeah. Well, you got to be careful because, I mean, you don't want to send out a tweet or anything like that and then have to adjust yourself, right? And say, have the trolls of America come after you and say, like, whoa, you're wrong. And I'm like, oh, man, that's how we kind of connected, me and you. And I was like, I saw that and I was like, I'll just send her a message, tell her, you know, it's probably just best if she edited or removed it.
Yeah, no, but
boy, oh boy. Oh yeah. My God. Like, I felt no, people I felt terrible.
Are so, oh yeah. People are so quick to criticize and so quick to like blow up, you know, and it's ridiculous. Just like, we're all human. We're all going to make mistakes. Right. Like
it's ridiculous. So 2020, obviously, a very rough year for A, the Cowboys, B, the industry. You know what I mean? So we're all messed up. We're on Zoom calls like we are now. But I mean, you're in Texas, so that makes sense. But that's how we're going to have to do it.
I mean, I would fly for like a Philly cheesesteak. I mean, like, I'd be, you know, I'm down. I've always been a charmer of those.
I used to go a lot, and it's my favorite place in the world. So I will be frequenting again. So you'll have to share your media credential when I get down there, and then we'll go from there. But now, so 2020, it's rough. It's, you know, the Cowboys as a whole was just a bad, bad situation. 2021 now. You're turning the page, you're doing your thing as far as in the media. Do you feel already that it's kind of resembling a little bit more normal as far as covering this team? I mean, yes, you probably got to wear the mask and do all that junk, but I mean, like, do you feel like we're turning that corner, getting back to, you know, being able to, you know, get in the media as far as getting outside the Zoom calls and being there and interviewing, like McCarthy's press conference, a lot of people were there for the first time. And like, that's the first time, that's the first time McCarthy has seen people in like 3D, 4D, you know what I mean? So it's like, do you feel like it's getting to a point where we're getting back to a little normal?
No, I would definitely say that's an accurate statement. And I think you're starting to see strides moving forward, and even just, you know, them saying they're projecting like full stadiums. I mean, that's that in and of itself right there is a representation of how far things have come. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's one of those things that it's just kind of like a time will tell situation. But I think, you know, even the fact that Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy have talked a lot about Oxnard, you know, I mean, that's something that a year ago wasn't even plausible. You didn't even think that was something that could happen. And I mean, it didn't. But I mean, you're starting to see kind of the wheels turning, and okay, maybe is it, you know, you've got the vaccinations now, and a lot of, you know, they're encouraging it for personnel, players, media, everybody. So I think, you know, once you get a lot more of those taking place, there's a lot of that kind of the fear element won't be as heightened as it was.
Right.
So I think you're starting to see things getting back to a sense of normalcy in this time, hopefully.
Yeah,
hopefully, once this season begins, we'll really start to see that.
Yeah, for sure. I think me, Keith, and Brett have already discussed getting out to Oxnard. If that's a thing and they allow fans and media members, I would love to get out there. That'd be wonderful. For the weather itself, you know, because I'm in Jersey. I mean, those guys are spoiled. You know, Keith's in LA and Brett goes from Vegas to Florida like every other day. So it's like, I'm here in Jersey.
Weather, I mean, it's just perfect. It's like 76, like just
forever.
Perfect. It's like, I'm going to be on that flight with the hand sanitizer. Like, you know, I'm going to be ready.
Triple mask if they tell you to. Like, I'll do whatever you want. Just let me get on this damn plane.
Yes.
So, all right. So this year's Cowboys, all right, we'll have to touch on this, obviously. So the Cowboys have been somewhat busy in free agency. I think some of the moves they've made are some questionable, some like you just kind of felt like it was going to happen anyway. So when you look up and down this Cowboys roster and the moves they've made already, does one stand out to you of just kind of like kind of floored you? Like, oh, wait, why? This move was just made, like just kind of shocked you, like – off the cuff.
And this is somebody that they've added or somebody let go?
Either way, you know, like a surprise to you, like, holy crap, they signed this guy, or holy Jesus, why would they let this guy go? You know what I mean? So something that would like take you off your game for a second, just for that minute.
A little, and it's not, we talked about this a little bit, but honestly, one of the things that stunned me even more than Mike McCarthy straight up announcing
retiring Crawford's
retirement in that press conference that was, I don't think, supposed to happen at all. Little unorthodox, but hey, you know, facts. But to me, man, LP,
I know.
God, the long snapper, you know, I mean, just that Canadian guy, you know, I mean, he was so well beloved by this team, you know, him and Jason Witten had both been with the team for, you know, 17 season was about to pass that. But of course, you know, I don't think they want anybody to surpass.
I know. I think that had, you know, a number lot to 82. Do with it. Yeah.
So
Yeah, that was definitely one of those moves where I was just like, oh man, like this is, you talk about, like, we could talk about quarterback play and safety play and corner play. This guy never made a mistake.
You know? Like,
one bogus call against Washington. And other than that, I didn't even know there was, I've been playing football and no football for my entire life.
Right.
I never heard a snap infraction ever.
Yes.
So it's like, what are you talking about?
As perfection as you can get at a position in this game, he was that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the embodiment of that. And it's like, he I just don't feel like he got the credit in, you
not
know,
at all. Not
for
at
what,
all.
For what he's done. For
and not only that, and not only that, not only do they get rid of him and replace him and bring on one of Bones Fossil's guys, which is whatever. I get it. You got to move on if that's what you're.
Yeah, we saw that play out with Greg Zuerlein. You know, you knew that was kind of coming, you know.
So, but dude, they gave away 91, like in a heartbeat, like his number, like not even a breath. Like that, it wasn't, his jersey wasn't even cold yet.
Right.
And they're just giving it away. Welcome to business. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh my goodness, that was such a, like,
man. They did LP dirty.
They did. They really did. There better be an LP day of some variation where we just celebrate his career. Because look, again, you're right. Longest tenured Cowboy other than Jay Witt, and it's like, yeah, you just did him like, oh, by the way, we're not bringing it back. That's what it was. It wasn't like, let's negotiate, let's talk about this. It was like, nah, we're moving in a different direction.
Yeah, or some super nice, like, farewell speech.
I think, and that's,
by the, you know, I mean, it was
right.
Just,
and that's the business. And that's the crappy part about this business is that it's just NFL means not for long. And he kind of defied that by going then, you know, playing for 20 years. But, you know, LP, I wish him the best. But now, other side of the coin, are there any moves that were made that you were like, yeah, that had to happen, or like didn't shock you at all? Like one of the moves that you basically say, this was definitely expected. Like the LP one shocked you. Does any of the moves that they made kind of say like, yep, that makes sense?
Honestly, the majority of the moves were guys that I anticipated would be parting ways with the Cowboys. Like
okay.
Figured, Cheeto would be parting ways. I figured Xavier Woods would be parting ways. Figured Joe Thomas would be parting ways. I mean, a lot of these things were things that I kind of anticipated. Now, I will say, a little bit surprised with Jordan Lewis's deal.
Okay.
But I mean, I think it'll be, you know, exciting to see that, you know, kind of competition with Anthony Brown, like we've seen in the past for, you know, that nickel corner position.
Right.
But really, I mean, for the most part, there wasn't anything that I was just floored by.
Okay. That's fair. And look, the Cowboys are playing small ball right now. They didn't make any big splashes. They bring in Neal. They bring in KZ. They bring in these guys, right, that the role players. They're going to, you know, I'm excited to see what they do with Neal because they don't know, like, he's like a hybrid all of a sudden. And I'm just like,
yeah.
I got a lot of guys that work with, you know, fans of Atlanta or guys that write for the Falcons. And they tell me that, you know, this guy was even better underneath. So like, maybe that's it. Yeah. Maybe that is also a kick in the ass for Jalen Smith, because my God, I if you listen to the past episodes of Jersey Boys podcast, there wasn't a more critical person of Jalen Smith's play than me. So I hope that things get turned around. So you have the free agency.
Yeah, he has that flexibility that they love, you know, can play on the weak side, can kind of was that, you know, prototypical, like cover three strong safety for the Falcons. So, I mean, I'm just excited to see how the new defensive system, like how they use him, how Dan Quinn uses him, how Joe Jr., how they get him plugged in.
Right.
And just a new system.
Something. The one and done, the one and done Mike Nolan system was just not working out. And we were just like, something's got to give. And they bring in Dan Quinn. So,
All right.
So now you have the free agency kind of comes and goes. I mean, yes, it still exists. We're still in free agency, but the waves kind of narrowed down or whatever. Now we're literally a month away from the NFL draft. I mean, you've seen a lot of, obviously there's been trades out the wazoo, you know, people are moving, shifting, doing their thing. You know, I made fun of it last week. Philadelphia tanked that last game of the season and then they wound up trading that pick anyway. So I felt bad for the Giants. Like the Giants missed the playoffs because Philly couldn't deliver. And then they trade the pick. I'm like, oh, okay. That's kind of rough, but I hope the Giants fans are chapped about that. But overall, where do you see Dallas? Or all right, I'll give you two parts. Where should they, where will they? Like, where should the Cowboys go at 10? Where do you think they're going to go at 10?
Right. I mean, I think a lot of it, you're seeing a lot of just the issues the Cowboys had on defense last year. That's obviously been a priority throughout the offseason. You've seen that play out in free agency. And I think you're hearing a lot of chatter about corner. Now, in my opinion, I think they should go with Patrick Surtain for number 10. But I will say that, and granted, a lot of this weighs on how their draft board is laid out, where they have guys on their draft board, and obviously who is available at number 10. Now, if Kyle Pitts
is available, Pitts thing. I know, here we go.
Or offensive tackle Penei Sewell, I think either one of those guys I could take over Patrick Surtain.
Okay, so I beg this question. You would literally take another offensive weapon over something that we've been struggling with all year. And this is not trying to argue with you. I just know that, you know, the other two guys, when we mentioned Pitts, they're like, if they add another offensive weapon and don't address the defense. And I say, guys, you know, the defensive draft is relatively deep this year. You know, there's a lot of good playmaking guys that can possibly get second, third round. I get that, but I, you know, it's very comparable to last year, but CeeDee Lamb fell in their lap. That's a 17th pick. You're like, okay, why is this guy still here? We're on him, you know? But now this is seven spots higher than that. This is 10. And the only way I can foresee the Cowboys doing this whole Kyle Pitts thing is if literally everybody they had on their board is gone. You know what I mean? Like, if they have to make a decision, if they have Patrick Surtain listed as their number one corner and he's hanging around at 10, you got to pull the trigger. You have to.
Yeah. Well, and you, I for sure can see both sides. Because, yeah, at the beginning I was like, I mean, God, I mean, how can you not? I mean, the need is so glaring. I mean, we see how disastrous and demoralizing, I mean, honestly, the performance of this defense was last season, game after game. But I mean, you, with a guy like Kyle Pitts, I mean, he is a generational talent. Nightmare mismatch. I mean, how rare is that? A guy that can change an offense, explosive. I mean, obviously has all the things that you want, but I mean, you look at, yes, Dalton Schultz had an amazing year in 2020, but he isn't a nightmare mismatch. Now he can develop into one, but he's not at this time. And then obviously you got Blake Jarwin coming back from injury. Now he has the frame, he has that ability, is that nightmare mismatch. But there's also the question, what is he going to look like now post-injury, you know, post the ACL? So, I mean, granted, it's not as big of a need for sure as cornerback is, but I don't think he's somebody that you can disregard when you look at everything he encompasses and you look at his talent level.
I think you're swaying me. I don't know. I was really against, I mean,
it's like I see both sides, but it's like, he's a guy that you have to take a look at when you look at his entire skill set.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, look, you're right. He's a generational guy. And it's like, if for whatever reason he's hanging around, you got to consider it. And I just like, I'm so all I when I look back at 2020, all I see is like Seattle, the receivers just blowing by us. And I see like all the Browns. I see Jarvis Landry throwing Beckham or Landry throwing a touchdown pass against our defense. And I'm just like, if they don't address this, I'm going to lose my mind. Oh, yeah. Like we can only score. Like there was a little bit of a, you know, a trend going last year, team 40 burger. I don't know if you heard of that, you know, they're all excited. Like, oh, we're going to put up 40 points a game. Then you lose Dak Prescott and that's out the window. So now how are you going to win games? You got to stop guys from scoring and they couldn't do that. Yeah. So I mean, that's why I'm just
like
so
laughing stock of the league. And then like game after game, you saw like the same eye discipline issues over and over and over. And it's like, oh my gosh.
Well, yeah,
and
then of course
you got, you know, that can't give 100% effort every play. And we see how that, you know, ended.
Right. Right. I look one of those things. I don't know if I could sit through another season of just defense being even mediocre. Like at this point, you know, let's just say you draft the Surtain, then you got the Surtain Diggs combination, then you got Anthony Brown and Jordan Lewis. Those are four capable corners, and then you added the safeties. You dress safety again in the draft, and then the linebacker position is kind of you know, like Jalen again has to bounce back. Layton was battling injuries all last year, so it's hard to kind of judge him. But, you know, Sean Lee, we still don't really know yet what he's going to do. Exactly. Listen, me personally, I would love to see him on the sidelines again. I would. You know, I think his leadership and I think his you know, he's just a man's man. He's a player's player. Right. He wants to be in the huddle.
He's a phenomenal coach. I mean, right. Honestly.
Right. So I guess it remains to be seen. I guess, you know, we'll have to keep our fingers crossed as we get closer and see if anybody else makes any moves. I mean, like, look, the Niners gave a King's ransom just to get the three. And then, you know, other teams might be jumping up to get their guy, their quarterback or whatever. So it all depends. I obviously, you know, it all depends on where everybody else goes. But I don't know. I want Pitts to go somewhere in the top 10 besides us. I want him to be drafted. So that thought is taken out of our minds where I'm just like, okay, right. Well, we could have took him, but he's not there.
You know? To be honest, I mean, I definitely do not see him becoming available. I definitely see him being gone. But then again, everybody said the same thing about CeeDee Lamb last year.
Yeah, but so the scary part is, ready for this scary part, we don't take him and he's there. Let's just say it's between him and Surtain and they take Surtain. So now Pitts is going to fall to the New York Giants or the Philadelphia Eagles. Then you're going to get really right. upset. Then you're going to say, like, we could have kept him away, you know, like, but again.
Yeah. But I do love Surtain though. I mean, he's just exciting to watch, you know, go through his film. The thing I loved about him is just the way, you know, he plays through the catch point, which I feel like you don't see a lot of the time. And just the way that he beats down receivers. I mean,
he plays like a pro. He plays like a pro. Oh yeah. Right now. Yeah, he's pro ready. Yes, absolutely. And I think he's probably the most pro ready cornerback in this draft this year. So that's what leads me to believe that if he's there at 10, it's just like a complete no brainer. This is your guy. This is your lockdown guy. This is your redemption for not taking Ramsey back in 2016, even though Zeke played out, you know, that did work, you know, but there's right. a lot of people who got, I mean, we should have took Ramsey. I'm like, no, watch the Zeke guy do okay. And he did okay. And he's been doing okay. And I firmly believe he'll be even better. But yeah,
my favorite was the TJ Watt.
Oh, Jesus. Poor Taco Charlton.
Those
Charles
just
never
like were
a
like
chance.
A knife to the heart. You know, you watch those games. And
yeah.
Like,
oh. Yeah. Yeah. I watch him do his thing now and I'm just like.
Tears. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, just kind of. I mean, I felt that way. Yeah. I felt that way in 98. We could have had Randy Moss. I mean, I know you're only 3 years old, but yeah, it's Randy Moss was for the Dallas Cowboys. And it's so funny. I'm talking to somebody younger than me because Brett and Keith are older than me and they always called me young Sturch. Like, oh, I got so much to learn about the Cowboys because I'm young and I'm naive. And I'm like, I told the guys, I was like, you know, Brianna's coming on. She's a decade younger than me. So she's, if anything, she knows how to be that young and optimistic and full of life person like I am. So back off, fellas.
Yeah. But,
yeah. And just get off.
Power
to the youthful. Young, you know? Yeah, exactly. 35. I'm still relatively young.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this season plays out. Brianna, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the Jersey Boys podcast. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media and follow 210. I said 210 instead of 21.
Yeah, there you go.
How they can follow you. And
to be honest, I thought it was 2102. I thought it was a good countdown. So no, you're good.
Okay. So yeah, now I feel better. Now I feel better.
Yes. Well, I am on Twitter at Dix Brianna, and my articles and videos are on d210.tv or website. Under pretty much all my stuff is under the Cowboys tab, and then SoonersWireUSAToday.com is where all of my Oklahoma shenanigans can be found. And then I'm also on Instagram at Brianna M. Dix.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much for joining me here on the Jersey Boys podcast. It's been a pleasure. We'll have you on maybe again before the draft and we'll try to crunch some more numbers and I'll introduce you to the other two Neanderthals and we'll get things going. All right.
That would be great. Thank you so much for having me, Dave.
Thank you so much. All right, folks, and that'll just about wrap things up for the Jersey Boys podcast here on the Blogging the Boys podcast network powered by SB Nation. For Dave Sturcio, Brett, and Keith Ernst, we want to thank Brianna Dix one more time for giving us the time and chatting with us about our beloved Dallas Cowboys. Until next time, we'll see you guys next week.